So tonight we are going to consider a community lament, another Psalm of David that he writes on behalf of the whole church, really, the people of God who are suffering under the oppressive regime of liars. The people of God here in Psalm 12 crying out to the Savior, deliver us from liars, the sermon title, deliver us from liars. Let's read now the holy and living word of God, Psalm 12, starting at verse 1. Save, O Lord, for the godly one is gone, for the faithful have vanished from among the children of man. Everyone utters lies to his neighbor with flattering lips, and a double heart they speak. May the Lord cut off all flattering lips, the tongue that makes great boasts. Those who say, with our tongue we will prevail, our lips are with us. Who is master over us? Because the poor are plundered, because the needy groan, I will now arise, says the Lord. I will place him in the safety for which he longs. The words of the Lord are pure words, like silver refined in a furnace on the ground, purified seven times. You, O Lord, will keep them. You will guard us from this generation forever. On every side the wicked prowl, as vileness is exalted among the children of man. Thanks be to God for his word from Psalm 12. Beloved congregation of the Lord Jesus Christ and friends, there is hope in this psalm, as you find in most of the psalms, even in psalms of lament, psalms where the psalmist, David or Asaph, whoever it might be, is crying out in time of trouble and complaining to the Lord. Where are you, Lord? How long must we suffer? Right? That's a lament. And oftentimes they start down in the darkness, in the gloom, in the misery, and then they end with a note of confidence and of hope, even of triumph and praise. That's usually what you find in the laments. But that's not the case here in Psalm 12. You should have noticed it ends on a very sad, well, maybe even a scary note. That last verse, on every side the wicked prowl, as vileness is exalted among the children of man. You know, friends, we pray to God, deliver us from evil, right? Those words in the Lord's Prayer, deliver us from evil. But there is a very powerful person behind all the evil in the world. And I mean the devil. I believe that the Lord's Prayer, the better rendering of the Greek there in the Lord's Prayer would be, deliver us from the evil one. Deliver us from Satan, the father of lies, who uses falsehood to kill and destroy. He is that wicked enemy of God and of the church. Satan prowls around like a lion, ready to devour his prey. Jesus calls the devil the ruler of this world. That's John 12:31. He calls the devil the ruler of this world because, yes, the devil is a powerful ruling spirit over the rebellious human race. Paul writes similarly at the beginning of Ephesians 2. Satan is a powerful liar, and he leads the masses to their everlasting destruction by means of his lies. Satan also inspires many people in the world to exalt themselves and use their lying lips to oppress others. He is not alone, the evil one. He has legions of dark spirits at his beck and call, and he does indeed govern the wicked in large part, leading them, yes, to their destruction, but also inspiring them to great evil. Psalm 12 is a community lament where the church cries out for God to deliver us from liars who are ruining society. Yes, oppressing the poor, attacking the saints, These liars gain positions of power through which they can do great harm. Our theme today, friends, in a land where liars rule, the saints must pray that God will keep us by his word of truth. In a land where liars rule, the saints must pray that God will keep us by his word of truth. I wonder, when you look around in our society, would you describe things, yes, in our society like this? Verse 8, on every side, the wicked prowl in the government, in the schools, in the workplace, in big business, in social media. Everywhere you turn, the wicked are there. They prowl. They're on the hunt. As vileness is exalted among the children of man. Vileness, horrendous evil, is exalted throughout our land because there are many liars in positions of power. It was in the news just this last week. Some of you must have caught it. In the eighth grade, Yaley Martinez began to struggle with depression. School administrators in Los Angeles, California, directed Yaley, 15-year-old Yaley, to the LGBTQ community. And eventually, the school administrators directed her to an outside counselor, all of this behind the back of her mother, Abigail Martinez. School leaders directed this 15-year-old girl toward gender transition. When the mother, Abigail, learned about it, she protested all of the secrecy with which things were being done. And Abigail called for a closer look into her daughter's mental health. Mom knew that was a deep, deep issue, a deep problem. She was ignored. And the school administrators eventually got the state of California involved. And in no time, Child Protective Services in California removed Yaley from her home, put her in a group home where she was further counseled toward gender transition, and began taking gender transition hormones. Mother was not allowed to see her daughter except for 1 hour supervised visitation, 1 hour each week. As long as mom said nothing against the gender transition and shared nothing of her Christian convictions with her daughter. Well, at age 19, at that point identifying as Andrew, Yaley Martinez killed herself September 4th, 2019, exactly 3 years ago today. Dear saints, there are many liars in power. They are tearing families apart. They are tearing babies from the womb in the name of women's health. Liars are in positions of power and they are killing us, literally. It's all around us. Now, you may look at California and say, oh, that's California. Happens on that coast or on the other coast, but not here in the middle of the country. Oh, it's coming to a town near you. We may have the power to speak up, redress wrongs, do something to correct the lies, and in the name of truth, attain some justice. We must, beloved, we must try to speak out against evil, against all of the vile evil and lies in our society. But most importantly, we must pray. Pray that God will protect us. As we see here in Psalm 12, pray that he will keep his people. He will keep us in his truth. And more than that, will not just protect us, but he will purify us, make us such lovers of truth, that we would then go spread his truth courageously, whatever it might cost us. Friends, Psalm 12 begins with a prayer for deliverance. But as with most laments, we find here the complaint at the beginning, a description of a very sad state of affairs. Notice verse 1, "Save, O Yahweh, for the godly one is gone, for the faithful have vanished from among the children of man. Everyone utters lies to his neighbor with flattering lips, and a double heart they speak. May the Lord cut off all flattering lips, the tongue that makes great boasts. Those who say, 'With our tongue we will prevail, our lips are with us, who is master over us.'" These are liars in power, friends. My first point this evening, liars exalt themselves and may gain such power that they are able to remove truth tellers from the scene. Liars exalt themselves and may gain such power that they are able to remove truth tellers from the scene. We have all experienced how lying lips can be oppressive, right? In a manner of speaking, just on a personal level. You have someone in your life who is always telling tall tales or fibbing here and there, just stretching the truth this way and that way. And you can sniff it out and it stinks. You have people in your lives perhaps who are bragging and boasting about themselves and all of their experiences and always trying to get in the limelight, right? Trying to shine. Get all the attention. Win friends. It can be very annoying. It can be so annoying that it feels oppressive. It can really get on your nerves. But that is actually not the sort of thing that we find in Psalm 12. These liars, about whom David is writing here in Psalm 12, these liars get so good at using their words to exalt themselves that they end up in positions of power to the extent that they prevail over the poor and they oppress them and they hurt them. It looks like these powerful liars are winning. Verse 4, David says that these flatterers and boasters say this sort of thing: "With our tongue we will prevail. Our lips are with us. Who is master over us?" Powerful liars, you see. They think they rule. They've exalted themselves by skillful use of their words, by flattery, by boasting, by lying, and all kinds of different falsehood. They think that they own their lips. "These are my lips. I'll do with them what I like, and I will be accountable to no one." These are the wicked who do not understand that one day they will give an account to God for every single careless word. These liars imagine they can prevail, and yes, maybe they gain such powerful positions in society that they do, for a time, prevail. They imagine themselves to be on top, accountable to no one. At times, the little people who love the truth, love justice, love mercy, they can address the powers that be. They can use lawful means to stop powerful liars, boasters. The little people can have the great liars even prosecuted and removed from office. It happens all the time. We're thankful when it does. But that is not always possible. Here in Psalm 12, the saints pray that God would deliver us, because there's no one in society to defend us. No one in the community to speak up for us. The godly one is gone. Did you notice? Verse 1, the godly one is gone. The faithful have vanished. Look, it's a case where lovers of truth are so oppressed that many maybe have been very hurt, locked up, or otherwise removed from the scene. So that if any faithful ones do remain, they're intimidated into silence. Friends, it's happening at every level of our society this very day. The faithful ones are vanishing. They are being intimidated into silence. When that happens, you may not hear the truth anymore, or very little of it, publicly. In the public sphere, you may not hear much truth. Liars reign. They use their lies not just to exalt themselves. They ruin society. They corrupt society more and more. Verse 2, everyone utters lies to his neighbor with flattering lips, and a double heart they speak. Dear saints, I don't know if you realize it, but this is increasingly what we find in our society. And if it is not yet the case that government is overtaken by liars, you know, entirely overtaken by liars, social media outlets are loaded with liars, and they have a powerful impact on our culture. They are silencing truth lovers left and right. They are prevailing to such a degree that they do oppress people. They do damage lives. They damage children. They harm many of the saints. What are we to do about it? Well, as I said earlier, speak up against it. Cry out against the injustice if you can. Many Christians think that they also need to get into all of the various media outlets and investigate and find the liars, expose them. And you know what? Some of that is necessary. Brothers and sisters, watch out that you do not get swept up in all the falsehood, because it is truly on all sides. And I mean, yes, on all sides, Democrat and Republican sides. What we must do, above all, friends, is pray. My second point, Christians must not trust in the words of men, but pray that God will save us from liars. Christians must not trust in the words of men, but pray that God will save us from liars. When liars are prevailing, you know, winning at every level of society, you must understand, brothers and sisters, that the chief duty of the Christian is to pray. God, help us. Deliver us from lying lips, O Lord. Please do not let us get caught up in all of the falsehood. Guard us from the deception. Do not let the wicked prevail over us. Do not let the wicked divide our families. Do not let the wicked intimidate your church into silence. Please, Lord, protect your saints. Preserve us in your truth. It's a noteworthy thing. King David wrote Psalm 12. You'd think that this lover of truth had the power. He's king, after all. Doesn't David have the power to remove liars? Remove those flattering, lying lips? Boastful men who are oppressing the poor, corrupting society? But apparently, even King David at this point was unable to do much. Much, if anything, to remove the liars. The issue is, you oftentimes can spot liars, but you may not be able to prove that they're lying. Maybe that was the case for David. He did not trust in his own words. King David did not trust in the words of any man. And he wrote this psalm to train the saints to withdraw our trust from men who are liars, never to trust in our own speech. Not even in our own speech. As much as we may love the truth and think that we are so committed to the truth and understand that, yes, we must speak the truth, but we're not even relying on our own words, on the words of any man. We are to trust God. And you understand, friends, you must understand, faith is really active when you call out to God for help. You pray for his intervention. We pray for God, who is the truth, to triumph over all falsehood. You'll notice verse 3 again, may Yahweh cut off all flattering lips, the tongue that makes great boasts. May the Lord cut them off. That's a prayer for God to intervene in judgment against the liars. Yes, if we cannot do anything about those liars in power, we know they do have a Lord. They are accountable to him. They will receive judgment from him. And so that's a prayer that God would intervene in mercy for his people, and he would protect us, yes, by judging, those wicked who use their lying lips to oppress God's people. The lament here is not just a complaint. It is a prayer, and it is an expression of the suffering of God's people. If he loved us, friends, so much that God sent his Son to die for our redemption. He sent his Son, Jesus, to deliver us from the great judgment we deserve. He sent his Son to shed his precious blood that we would not only be delivered from God's wrath, but that we would also be delivered from the tyranny of the devil, the ultimate liar. Friends, if this is what God has done in his great love for us through Jesus Christ, surely our gracious God and Father will have compassion on his oppressed people. He will hear their cries and he will act for our defense. And that is what God actually promises to do right here in the middle of the psalm. I think it's the high point, the most beautiful part of the psalm, verse 5, where the Lord speaks. He says, "Because the poor are plundered, because the needy groan, I will now arise, says the Lord. I will place him in the safety for which he longs." See, the psalm is a precious prayer, friends, because it actually includes God's word of promise right there in verse 5. He's a faithful Savior. He loves us more than we can possibly know. He hates liars more than we could possibly know. God will finally cut them off. You know what it says in Revelation? That in the lake of fire, among all the wicked who perish forever, you know who is also in the list of the wicked? Liars. God will finally cut them off. It doesn't have to be on the last day. He can intervene with judgment anytime he likes. One way or another, the Lord God will show that he is Lord over all. He is the great judge. Liars imagine that they prevail, but the Lord God is king. He will cause his truth to prevail at long last, and he will guard his precious blood-bought children in Christ Jesus, giving us the protection, the safety for which we long. Beloved, it may not seem like such a practical thing to pray. Society is being revolutionized, Pastor. It's being ruined by all the lies. We're supposed to pray. Oh, yes. We need to be on our knees praying for God to preserve his church in the truth, judge all liars, to reign in righteousness for the spread of his truth. Friends, prayer is powerful. Not so much because of our words, but because of that gracious God and Savior who promises to hear our groaning, our laments, our prayers for deliverance, and then to go to work in answer to our prayers. Believe this promise. God hears the groaning of his children who are oppressed by lies. And then go to him. Beloved in the Lord Jesus, go to your God and Father in prayer, more prayer. And go also to his word of truth. My third and last point, since the Lord will keep us by his word of truth, we must often turn to his words for life. It is a matter of life and death. Make no mistake. Since the Lord will keep us by his word of truth, we must often turn to his words for life. Did you notice that this is precisely where the psalm turns next? Verse 6. The words of Yahweh are pure words, like silver refined in a furnace on the ground, purified seven times. David and the saints here, they are extolling the word of God. They hear God's gracious promise, verse 5, his promise to guard the poor, to protect his people. The response is this meditation on God's word in verse 6. A meditation, a reflection on God's word, which, friends, is not mostly true. It is perfect truth. Where else will you go for perfect truth but the word of God? Remember Peter's words we've seen recently from the end of John chapter 6. Jesus asking the disciples, are you going to leave me as well? All the crowds are leaving him after that bread of life discourse. And Peter answers for the disciples, Lord, where are we going to go? You have words of eternal life. He has words of truth. Yes, he has words for life. Now, this verse 6 in particular, could be viewed as a reflection on that good promise that God made in verse 5. But I'd argue that David is giving us a contrast between what we get out of the mouths of men, a bunch of lies, and what we get out of the mouth of God. Pure truth. And it's a treasure of truth. You know, sometimes we look at the truth, we think, well, it's got to be good because it's just truth, right? Just that simple. Don't go any deeper. No, truth is for life. Falsehood is the tool of the devil for murder, for death. Truth is for life. And friends, the truth of God's word, yes, it is good because it's true and it's for life. It's for salvation. But you understand, it is a treasure. And this is why David says it's like silver refined, not once or twice. This is the most intense way of refining silver. Purify it 7 times. That's perfect. Perfect and complete purification of silver. Well, God's word doesn't need any purifying. It is that treasure of absolutely pure silver and gold. David writes similarly in Psalm 19, for example, and in Psalm 119. But here it is again in Psalm 12, verse 6. The words of Yahweh are pure words, like silver, absolutely pure silver. What a treasure we have in God's word of truth. Is that how you view the word? Is it a treasure of truth to you personally? Is it truth for life and health and safety? You say, wait a minute, Pastor. This is a prayer that God would give safety to his people. So we pray for safety. But now you're saying we go for safety to the word? Absolutely. Because the means that God uses to preserve his people, chief means, is his word of truth. Is that where you go to know you are under the shadow of God's wing? Yes, prayer, but do you go to his word where he protects you from the lies of the world, the lies of the devil? Do you go to his word because that's where you have God granting you, right there in his word, safety? Whatever the wicked may do to your body, or your bank account, or your job, do you go to the word because that's where you have your God, a refuge for you against all the falsehood of the world? The best way for us to recognize falsehood is to be super familiar with the truth. Dear saints, go to God's word for truth. Not just truth about, you know, purely spiritual things, this ethereal realm of, well, it's ultimate truth. Yeah, we better give it some attention. But is it really that practical for my daily life in this culture? Absolutely. Most practical. Prayer, yes, powerful, because God hears and he answers. But go to the word because it's the living word of God. It's truth for life. Truth to help us navigate life in a very confused, dark world. Go to God's word of truth, beloved, because this is precisely how he preserves his saints. He keeps us in his truth, in kingdom salvation. He keeps us in Christ. He keeps us by means of his word of truth. And you do not have to take my word for it. This is exactly what Jesus prayed at the in the high priestly prayer, John 17, and I quote, John 17, verse 14, he prays to the Father, I have given them, his disciples, I have given them your word, and the world has hated them because they are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. He says to the Father, I do not ask that you take them out of the world. He's not praying for that kind of protection, not that sort of safety, just take them out of the world, Lord. I'm not praying that you take them out of the world, but Father, that you keep them from the evil one. How? John 17, 16. They are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. And verse 17. Father, sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, so I have sent them into the world. And for their sake, I consecrate myself that they also may be sanctified in truth. You know, we oftentimes think about safety in very physical terms, but real safety is a spiritual thing. Sanctification is your greatest safety, brothers and sisters. Hear the word of Jesus from John 17. He's not praying that God would just remove us from all the danger and from all the lies in this corrupt culture. He's praying because he has sent us into that culture to be true lovers of truth who spread the truth. He prays that God would sanctify us in that truth. That's our protection. That's our treasure. That's life. It's going to train us to be walking in the truth, and yes, it's going to equip us to be those who spread the truth in the name of Christ. God saves by means of his word, and he sanctifies. He actually purifies his people and makes us to walk in holiness, especially by means of his word. The Lord God sanctifies us by means of the word. He will keep us, defend us in his truth by means of his word. Of truth. Friends, we need more prayer, prayer which we know God will answer, and we need to dive more often, we need to dive more deeply into the Word of God. Oh, how I pray we would develop real discipleship in all of our lives. Not checking off a box that you do your daily devotions in the Word in prayer, but delighting yourself there, yes, because that's how you drink again and again of the river of life. And get filled up with the Holy Spirit in the Word. And how I pray you all would prayerfully get into the Word more and more. Yes, more often, more deeply. Because it is life. And it is your safety. And it is your sanctification as Jesus prayed. Words of eternal life he gives us by which he preserves us. And by which he continues to wash his bride. Listen. Dear church, do you want to be that spotless bride of Christ? You say, well, yes, but Pastor, he washes us by his blood and spirit. Yes, but what does Ephesians 5 tell you? He washes you with his word. Get into the word. Be washed by your bridegroom. Jesus washes his bride by the word. Do you want to be equipped as a soldier for Christ, a true disciple? It's enough that the disciple becomes like the master. And as he says there in John 17, just as the Father sent him, he sends us. We're not disciples if we're not sent. We're not disciples if we're not soldiers armed with the word of truth. Get into his truth, the word of truth, because Jesus sends his disciples into the world. Yes, a world that hates us, but we are sent to go to that hateful world in love, to speak the truth in love with our neighbors. The Lord not only saves us and sustains us by his word, he sends us with the word of truth that he might even use us to call many other sinners out of the darkness into his marvelous light that they may praise the only living God and Savior with us. Beloved, prayerfully, get into the word of Christ because by this, God will keep us and he will equip us with his truth to go on in the midst of a twisted generation all around us. To go to them with that word of life that will prevail over the devil and all falsehood. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, amen.